Up next, we have our book reading program, Ohomini Iyotaka, read by Gail Hubling.
The Long Knives of Crying, a novel by Joseph M. Marshall III. Chapter 2, The Hunters. Two old men stood at the edge of the encampment as the hunters rode out. Below them in the wide valley, a mist hung over the river, a meandering silvery white cloud. In the distance to the west, the black ridges of the shining mountains were a broad, jagged line between the gray of land and sky. Black Shield and Gray Bull watched enviously as the line of riders followed a game trail, until they disappeared into the mist. It was difficult for the two men to admit they were elders and not quite as physically capable as they once had been, but they found solace in the memories of their own hunts. Without speaking, they turned and walked toward the inner circle of the lodges. Only a few horse guards and dogs were awake at this hour of the morning. Several war horses picketed at the doors of their owners hardly noticed their passing. At a lodge with the faded sketch of a coyote howling over the door, Black Shield untied the door and invited his friend to enter. "I hope young Black Lance is right about that herd he saw," Gray Bull commented as he took a horn cup of tea from Black Shield's wife, looking north woman. "I hope there are enough to feed us all," said Black Shield. "We need at least 20 to feed everybody in all the camps," he pointed out. "If the buffalo are there, our hunters will find them. But that is not what worries me most," Gray Bull fretted. "Yes, I know what you mean. There could be other hunters, like the crow." Gray Bull nodded grimly and sipped his tea. "There was a time when there was enough, more than enough, to feed all the nations. When I was a boy, I went east toward the Great Muddy with my father," he recalled, "where the White Earth River meets the Smoking Earth. We saw something I will never forget. Two herds. There were so many. They covered the land like a robe from one skyline to the other. But that was only the beginning." He used his hands to illustrate, his fingers extended to represent the front of two herds flowing together. They came together like this, his fingers entwined. One herd going south and the other going west. They passed through each other and kept going. Black Shield and looking north woman sat quietly, in silent reverence, envisioning the image Gray Bull so aptly described. After a few moments, the older man spoke again. "Who would have thought they would be gone in my lifetime?" he asked sadly. "When they ran, they shook the earth, and we felt powerful. They were our power. After all, we are the buffalo people. Now we pin our hopes on 20. Black Shield reached inside a bag decorated with faded quills, pulled out a bundle of sage and held one end of it over the coals in the fire pit. As white smoke twirled upward, a wispy ribbon rising and wavering, the old man muttered a prayer. Gray Bull cradled his horn cup between his palms, staring into the hot liquid. "It is hard not to hate them for causing all of this," he said, "but sometimes I wonder if we too caused it, in a way, by not fighting harder or sooner. I have heard old Turning Bear say more than once that we should have stopped the wagon people. After they attacked us over that sickly old cow, we should have burned the fort to the ground and fought every column of long knives they sent. We should have tracked down and killed every hide hunter with a long gun." With a deep sigh, Gray Bull leaned back against his chair. Black Shield had been nodding slowly, introspectively. Every man in the Sitting Bull and Crazy Horse bands carried the same thoughts and the same anger within him, and perhaps some of those languishing at the agencies near Fort Robinson did as well. "I think Sitting Bull is doing a necessary thing," he said, "and I think many of our people will listen to what he has to say. But I also think something should have been done years ago. Is it too late?" "Spotted Tail thinks so, and Red Cloud does too." Gray Bull shook his head. "Of the two, I would be more interested in Spotted Tail's reasons for taking his people to the agency. What has it been, 7 years since then? There is no one who is more of a warrior than him, except for our headman. My brother was with him at the Blue Water when Woman Killer Harney attacked. It was Spotted Tail who told me how fiercely my brother fought before he was killed. But he never said anything about what he himself did. I heard it from others. After he was stabbed, he pulled a sword out of his shoulder and killed a soldier who stabbed him and 8 or 9 others before he was wounded again. That is a man. And when a man like that lays down his weapons, I would like to know exactly why. Black Shield cleared his throat. I think he saw something when he was in the white man's prison at the place called Leavenworth. He fought with us after that, when we went south to avenge the Cheyenne and the Blue Clouds after Sand Creek. After that, he helped us rescue the loafers, those who were living near the White Fort when the Long Knives were taking them to prison. A man like that does not put away his weapons unless it is for a good reason. Yes, Grable agreed, but his reasons do not have to be ours. We are here because we want nothing to do with the Long Knives or any whites. Our reasons for living as we do are just as strong as his for living among them. True, said Black Shield, but how long can we live without the buffalo? Near midday, the fog finally lifted. The warmth of the sun was a welcome change from the dampness of the cold, but their cover was gone. Keeping to the low areas, the hunters had cleverly used the fog to hide themselves. Squinting in the bright light, Black Lance pointed to a stand of cedar atop a low ridge and looked at Crazy Horse. There is a wide creek bed beyond that ridge, he said. Good grass under the snow and out of the wind, too. They were there yesterday. Crazy Horse glanced at Cloud. We can take a look, he suggested. If they are there, we will make some plans. If not, we will keep looking for them. Gaining the low ridge, the hunters dismounted and worked their way through the thick stand of cedars. In the shallow valley to the west, they saw several cows. The rest are probably beyond that bend, Black Lance pointed out. This creek comes out of the foothills. It goes a long way back, and it is narrower farther to the west. Cloud pointed to the nearest animals. The snow is deep there, he said, up to their bellies. That fact had not gone unnoticed. The cows, dark shapes against the bluish-white hues of the snowfield, were close enough for the men to see well without using their field glasses. Fortunately, there was no wind to speak of, and all the animals had their heads down, browsing, shoving aside snow with their noses, or scraping it away with their front feet. Cloud turned around and looked at their horses standing quietly in the brush below them. Among them were two big grays.